Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. The readings for the epistles from today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject, in hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only it, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from the account of St. Luke. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Genesareth, and he saw two boats moored by the lake, but the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will lower the net." And when they had done so, they enclosed a great number of fishes, but their net was breaking. And they beckoned to their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had made, and so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Thus ends the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, in today's Gospel, St. Peter provides us with a very beautiful example of the trust in God, the trust that we have to have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord tells him, after preaching to the multitudes, to cast his nets into the sea to bring in a catch of fish. This is actually very interesting when you consider it, because Jesus Christ, he grew up as a carpenter, while St. Peter was a fisherman by trade. So St. Peter is the one who would know all of the techniques and all the strategies that are better used to catch fish. It is very strange for St. Peter, who has this trade of a fisherman, to listen to Jesus Christ, who by trade was a carpenter. St. Peter, he had labored all night using all of his different techniques and everything, and despite all of that, was able to catch nothing. And so then it is very strange for Jesus Christ, the carpenter, to say this to St. Peter. There's no real reason why St. Peter should listen to our Lord in this case, looking at it purely from the natural point of view. But since St. Peter believed in the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, he then trusted him and he performed this action that our Lord was telling him, not trusting in his own power, but trusting in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this trust that he had in our Lord, there was this great catch of fish, so much so that their nets were beginning to break, that they had to call their partners over to help them bring the fish in, and then almost sinking both of the ships. Again, this was accomplished because St. Peter had that trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to have that same trust in our Lord as well. We see in different places in Scripture where our Lord asks of us certain things that seem to us to be impossible. One that I would like to look at in particular is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. Our Lord says to us, "Be you therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." This, again, it seems impossible to us because we know our different weaknesses, we know our failings, our particular bad and sinful habits. And despite our constant efforts to try to overcome these, we see ourselves continually falling into the same habits again and again. And then we can fall into this tendency to think that our Lord was speaking these words more so to the saints and not really so much to us. We begin to think that it is impossible for us to reach a high level of sanctity. But the truth is that our Lord did say these words to all mankind. He gives all mankind the possibility of reaching this high level of sanctity. But again, looking back at this story of St. Peter, our Lord did not expect this great miraculous catch from St. Peter, trusting that St. Peter would do it by his own power or by his own skill. Our Lord was not expecting that. He did it. He brought this miraculous catch about by his own power. And so it will really be the same thing with us. This transformation of us into a holy and virtuous soul, our Lord Jesus Christ will do that work. We just have to cooperate with his grace. Our Lord, he does give us all the means that we need in order to reach this high level of sanctity. And there are three specific means of sanctification that I would like to focus on today. The first of these are the seven sacraments and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The sacraments are the greatest and most sure means of our sanctification. And the reason why they are so powerful is because they are applying the fruits of our Lord's sacrifice directly to our soul each time that we receive them. Granted, it's true, our Lord, he died on the cross for all men. He's died only once, but the fruits of that sacrifice have not yet been applied to all men. They are chiefly applied to us when we receive all the different sacraments. The saints, they really became the great saints that they are because they had this great faith in the sacraments. They wanted to frequent the sacraments as much as they possibly could because they knew their power. And we have those same exact means as they did. We can always go to confession and communion. It is a very great grace, especially here where we have a priory. We can receive communion every day if things work for us with our schedule. There's a small town about 8 hours north of Calgary where I'm stationed in Canada. And sadly, I'm only able to go to this small town about 4 times a year. So that means that those people there can only receive some of the sacraments only about 4 times a year, only receiving confession and communion 4 times a year. Whereas here in this priory, you can receive communion more times than they receive communion in 1 year. You can receive that more times in only 1 week. So we should be especially grateful for that. We want to definitely take every possible advantage of that we can. And so these sacraments, they should give us a very great confidence because God, he's putting these powerful sacraments so easily at our disposal. And then also the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it is the renewal of that same sacrifice every day on our altars. When we attend Mass, we are then present again on Mount Calvary, and we can receive those fruits every time that we attend the sacrifice of the Mass. Another means of sanctification are the different circumstances in which we find ourselves throughout our lives. We can see many different trials and difficulties that come our way, and we can start to wonder, why is it that our Lord allows this or that trial, especially for those who are doing their best to serve our Lord, doing their best to please God, yet they seem to always meet all of these crosses and trials. And we can fall into this tendency of seeing all of these crosses as punishments from God. But looking at the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, says that for those that love God, all things work together unto their good. Every circumstance that happens in our lives, God allows that for our benefit if we have those proper dispositions. And so we can always, again, see all of these different circumstances really as tailored for the particular needs of our own souls. There's always some benefit to be gained from whatever circumstance comes our way. And if it were not for these crosses and trials, we would actually very quickly turn to the comforts and pleasures of this world and then quickly forget about God. We would begin to live our lives as if God did not exist. And so these crosses and trials, they are really a great grace of God. They are a powerful means of sanctification. And granted, we might not see the purpose of this or that trial. We might not see how it does work toward our sanctification. But this is where that trust in God comes in. We have to always remember we only see the little bit of the picture that's right in front of us. We don't see everything. God is the one who sees the whole picture. He sees why he allowed this or that. He sees what good effect will come about from it. And we have to have that trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's always a very good practice when we feel that discouragement, that worry in the face of these trials, to just take a step back, to think about this fact, always remembering that God is in control. He allows all of these circumstances for our sanctification, and then continue on with our work, with our duties, having that trust in God. And the final means of sanctification is the devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lady herself said to Saint Dominic, "The devotion of my rosary is a great sign of predestination." This clearly shows us how powerful this devotion of the rosary is, or even how powerful any devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary is. Any devotion to Our Lady, its purpose is always to bring us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's to make us more pleasing in his eyes. And so if we have this devotion to her, she will form our Lord Jesus Christ in us by helping us to better practice the Christian virtues, just as she formed our Lord Jesus Christ in her own womb. She will form our Lord Jesus Christ in our soul. And so she is one of the most powerful means that God has given us. It is very beautiful for us to think that God has given us his own mother to help us in the trials, in this difficult work of sanctification. So especially today, looking at this example of St. Peter, this trust that he had in our Lord Jesus Christ, ask the Blessed Virgin Mary for this great grace to be able to trust in the power of the seven sacraments and the Holy Sacrifice of Mass, to always have this trust in our Lord Jesus Christ throughout all the different circumstances in our lives, praying for those dispositions to make those circumstances beneficial for our soul, and always asking her especially for an increase in devotion to her. With these three different means of sanctification, then we can truly become perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.